The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Always great to see that face on the left-hand side of the screen. He's Michael Coleman, heart of Alabama Food Bank. He is the CEO of that wonderful institution, but more than anything, he's one of my best buds, and I just love doing our show called Mission Minded every single week. We actually started the show about non-for-profits, and certainly heart of Alabama is that. We have an exclusive show called Bite by Bite, where it's all we talk about, and we really talk about food insecurities, and we'll get into that coming up here in a few minutes, but we really want to get into something that is more business and more manageable, if you will, in quotes. For a topic today, I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I'm a radio guy and I love to talk, and I'll take up the first 10 minutes of the show to try to explain what we're going to get into. And I think you can probably do that in half the time, but I do. I am going to take your time. I will tell you this.
I'm just along for the ride, brother. You just do you.
I will tell you this, and our older listeners will understand where I'm coming from. I'm 58 years of age. And as I have gotten older and older and older, I realize that there are two ways in this world to go. There are only two ways in this world to go, and that is to go with love or to go with fear. There's only two ways we react to things. There's only two ways we vote things. There's only two ways we love. There's only two ways that you can go. There's no middle ground. You either do something in love or you do something in fear. It goes for marriages. It goes for business. It goes for relationships. It goes for whatever. And so you wanted to get into the fear aspect. And as a leader, how to manage that today. And I just think I read the article, and I think it's really fascinating, because I think this world that we're living in is having a really difficult time trying to manage which way do we want to go, in fear or love. And I do think in business, fear is not the way you can go.
It's really interesting. There's so many, I would say, in a time where we're the most prosperous in the history of the world, mm-hmm. we live in a country that's just so blessed with resources and opportunities. And yet I would say there's more fear and anxiety on a daily basis amongst our population with all sorts of things. And it's hard to always put your finger on exactly why that is. But when you get over in the business community, especially if you're a leader or manager of people, and you know, it's not only your own fear that you have to manage, but you have to kind of manage the fear of other people as well. It's hard to really put into words sometimes what fear can do to the mind. I don't know if I've ever shared this on our podcast before, but if I have, to me, it's worth resharing. Oh. I know there are people that have clinical anxiety and really struggle with that. And that's not necessarily, and that's becoming very, very common as well. but lots of times, just to put a context around this, I've talked with a doctor, and he kind of helped me understand just this whole, just general anxiety and fear that comes about. And he said, you know, Michael, if you're walking through the woods, and you see a bear with its mother cub, I mean, a mother with her cubs, grizzly bear, your body is going to experience that fight or flight. And all of us have experienced that. So we know just for a split second what that feels like. But he said, there's really your body, your heart starts racing, but it's pumping blood to your extremities. You actually get less blood to the brain because it's not, you don't have to think. You have to either fight or run away. So when your body does that, it's doing exactly what it was designed to do. It's fear alerts you that there potentially is a problem. Today, though, we have a lot of people who battle anxiety. And he said, it's not that your body's broken, but it's like walking through the woods and there's no bear there. But your mind triggers your mind as if the bear is there. In other words, that fight or flight mode is kicked in. And so you begin to have the sweaty palms and the sweat and the racing. Now, that's probably an extreme version from what we're talking about. Yep. But when you get into the business world, you have to understand you're going to have people like that. And I'm constantly amazed when I talk with people, because in my mind, I have this culture that I'm establishing, and it's one that's supportive and all that. And then I'm going to hear somebody's afraid, and I'm like, well, what are they afraid of? And I just recognize some people are wired that their first response to any stimuli is fear. You know, fear of what this means to me, fear of what's tomorrow going to look like. How does my circumstances change? How does my environment, how's my future? Just with almost every decision. And boy, it really can get inside your mind, and it's just such a toxic thing. And the reason I was mentioning that about the doctor was he was saying, you know, we train. If you look at somebody who suffers from anxiety, you could do a scan of their brain, and there's nothing diseased about the brain. There's nothing wrong. We simply have trained our brain to respond to stimuli. And lots of times when we experience fear, then the response is we withdraw. We don't face our fear. And so when we pull away, the anxiety lessens. Well, then your brain is trained that every time you have that fight or flight response, you're always going to flee and you're not going to go back. And so what then begins to happen is your world gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, because you have to continue to flee from adversity or challenges or everything else. And it just really ends up, its tentacles touch every aspect of your life. And so there's the extreme versions of that, but then there's the mild versions that just kind of knock you off course a little bit, or just knock you back, or just make you a little less sure of yourself. And I think it's important for leaders to be able to understand that they've got those issues going on, but they also have their employees that are going on. And how do you navigate all that? Because what I have found is that while most people have some type fear, they're all over the place in terms of what triggers that fear. What is their response to fear? How do you lead people to face something that they dread? And I mean, it's really something that doesn't get talked about enough, because I think fear is a very toxic thing. It can shut you down as an individual. It can shut you down as a leader. It can shut down an organization that's scared to move forward because of fear or failure or whatever's causing all that.
It's really interesting. I think I heard this. It was probably from the National Mortgage Association during COVID, because a lot of people had lost their jobs, wasn't working. And they said, the worst thing you can do is not pick up the phone. And because when your phone's ringing off the hook and every person is calling you as a bill collector, or you're a mortgage company in this particular case, you just want to put it off. You just want to keep putting it off, and you become paralyzed. And I'm guilty of that. Taxes is really difficult for me. I got the extension last week. There was no way I was going to get done by the 15th. So I've got an extension the last 4 years, and I hate that I do that, because now I've just put it off till October 15th. So I've got more time to procrastinate. And basically they said, the worst thing you do is not react in some form or fashion, not put your foot on the floor, not start your day, not move forward somehow. It's the old cleaning out the garage, right? You got to start with the first box. You got to get after it. And I think one of those things that's on this list too is about facing my fear. We always hear about facing your fear. If you'll face your fear, you can beat your fear. Talk about what that means in business. I'm also claustrophobic. And I faced my fear, and I had a panic attack and passed out in the elevator when I got stuck.
Yeah.
I still don't like elevators. So I faced my fear, but it still scares the hell out of me. Do I feel like I've moved forward? Yes. And that was something where I don't have to ride an elevator today, but I made myself do it just to face that fear to see if it works. But I want you to talk about facing your fear and what that means in a business workplace.
Yeah. So, well, and let me just address that before I do that. The idea is, what the doctor kept saying was, when you look at somebody's brain that's like that, that experiences this fear, where somebody else may say, well, this is ridiculous. There's no threat there. But your brain is responding as if you're back to the bear situation, that there's a bear there or there's a threat there. The idea is, because your brain's not diseased, you have trained your brain to respond to certain stimuli. And so the good news is, he told me, was that if you trained your brain to respond this way, you can retrain it to respond a different way. And that's why the first thing in this article is so true is I will face my fear. Because if your brain is saying you need to flee because there's a bear there, but you know you can't see it, but there is no bear there. You don't know why it's being triggered. It's not that your brain's disease. It's this, you stand still or you move forward. And after a while, your brain, whatever was triggering it, will retrain your brain to say, oh, there's nothing there. That trigger shouldn't be there anymore. And you can actually, and this is what he was explaining to me. Yeah. So in the business community, you think about it, you hear a rumor about expansion, or you hear about a job. I will give you one good example, just this happening right now at the food bank. So we have somebody who is a volunteer coordinator, except we want to do more in terms of bringing in our volunteers, in terms of, you know, communicating to them, building relationships with them. And she can't recruit volunteers and then be out on the floor with them and then thank them. It's just too much for one person. Okay. So I think I'm doing the right thing. I'm going to bring in somebody who's a volunteer recruiter, and they're going to take over that administrative part of bringing them in. And then she's going to then transition over to be, she's so good out on the floor with them as a volunteer experience person. Mm-hmm. Well, initially she was fine with that. And then she spoke up and said, wait a minute. Now I'm concerned, because the fear starts coming in. What does this mean for my future?
Yeah.
Is it because I'm not doing something? Why are you making this change? So to me, it was a very positive change, but to her, it created fear. And when you come to work, as opposed to, oh, I know what I got to do, I love my job, you go in, if you're like, I'm afraid if I make a mistake, I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid of this person who's coming in. I'm afraid of... You just don't move with the same certainty, with the same aggression, with the same purpose, because there's always something stirring around your back about, you know, what's going on. So what's recommended, and an example they use about a dog barking with squirrels. I remember one time I've got this golden doodle who I absolutely adore, but he's got a bark that'll raise the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And just one time, him being outside, raising the roof. And I thought, good gracious, he's got a gang of people out back pinned up, you know, that. I go outside and he's looking at a Walmart sack in the yard. Can't figure out what it is and just barking like crazy. So sometimes he's got all this fear. And then you find out it's a Walmart sack. And as a matter of fact, more times than not in the business community, it is, you know, where you're affected. And you're like, oh, I'm afraid of what could happen. In reality, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's just a Walmart sack.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you have to do as a leader is you have to lead by example, is to lean into that fear. Don't repel. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, a fear can tell you something may be wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing a proper analysis. But this just emotion-based fear, and I don't like the feeling. The feeling is icky, and so I want to pull away from that so I feel differently. I understand the tendency to do that, but instead lean into it, overcome it, retrain your brain, say, you know, there's nothing to really be afraid of. And when you do that, now you're setting the example, providing the leadership for other people to fall in. Like if my supervisor is not concerned, then I'm going to follow his pattern. But if you as a leader are wringing your hands about things that come up, if you're projecting in your voice out to other people that it's shaky, you're uncertain, you're going to increase their fear and anxiety rather than, which defeats the purpose of facing it head on.
It's funny because fear just is in so many different things. And I think about relationships all the time. You know, the fear of rejection. Men hate the yeah. fear of rejection. We talk about that all the time. I did an entire show about, you know, finally going. We did a show about women, in this particular case, men, because I was talking to a female, and people that we knew 20, 25 years ago. My 40th anniversary is coming up for my class reunion. And inevitably, someone's going to walk up to me and say, wow, I liked you so much. I wish you had asked me out senior year in high school. And this is going to be a person that was so far outside my realm of possibilities. Like, there's no way that Teresa Cunningham would ever go out with Tony Curry. There is no way. I mean, she was a lassie. She was in the marching band. She did everything right. She was beautiful. She was the... And she's telling me, you know, man, if you had asked me out 40 years ago, I'd be... Now, we don't know if 40 years ago that was the case. Maybe she doesn't look like she used to. And maybe I look a little bit better than she thought I would. And maybe 40 years later, she's wanted to, I don't know.
She's remembering it a little differently now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like our brains usually do. And that's fight or flight too. but for the most part, I think a lot of us don't react to fear or don't jump in to face it because we have something in our past that has held us back. For example, the guy who goes in and feels he's like got a little mole and he's not looked at it for years and he just don't want to look at it. And you go in, next thing you know, he's got melanoma and he's dead in a month. You've heard these stories, right?
Right. Sure.
And that's why, you know, a lot of men just don't like going to stores that they'll live to be 75 when they could have lived to be 85. They have just gone in 5 years earlier on that prostate exam or whatever. So what do you find based off your being a CEO and the leader of your camp? What do you find that most people are fearful of? What is it? Past experiences? Is it of rejection? Is it something what is the main purpose of? Is it laziness? Is it afraid that they're going to lose their job? What is the biggest fearness you see?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is uncertainty. And, you know, my CIO, Joanne, just gets on me every single day. She said, you over-communicate, you talk when you shouldn't be, and you share too much information. And she's probably right about the majority of that. But my tendency is, if I'm sharing all the information and there's not, and because what I'm trying to project is, look, you know, we're all in this fight together. We always are going to have challenges, but hey, overall things are going well. Just to create this idea that, yeah, you know, challenges are going to come up and we're going to face them, but you know, we're going to have storms. And that's part of what we try to convey to people is, look, sometimes it's like sitting out a storm. You have to say, I'm going to look on the TV or listen to the radio. You know, if a tornado is heading my way, I'm going to get in a safe place, but I'm not worried about lightning coming through my roof and striking me. So I can be in the midst of a storm and still have a quiet soul, if you will. And a lot of that is based on what I know. Now, imagine if you're sitting there in a bad storm and you can't get access to any sort of communications, your phone's not working or whatever. You don't know if a tornado is on its way. That's the uncertainty in the business world, where lots of times we like to keep employees in the dark and we don't like to inform them what the next steps are. But when people are working in that uncertainty, what always happens is they naturally fill the gap because rumors start happening and then rumors turn into, oh, so-and-so said they heard this. And that information vacuum is going to be filled. And usually with something false and erroneous that further deteriorates the situation. So I found that most employees, if you communicate with them, you're honest with them, and you tell them, yeah, this is going to be a rough patch. Or yes, we have to get through this, whatever. Sometimes it's very small things, just being, you know, a minor inconvenience to, hey, this is going to be a philosophical shift in how we do business. As long as you're communicating with them and they understand and it's logical to them, it makes sense. They don't feel like you're acting emotionally, like, wow, that's an overreaction. And yeah, man, Michael is, you just don't know from day one, whatever mood he's in is how it's going to flip around here. So, you know, that creates all that instability. And then where there's instability, there's fear. To going back to what you said, based on if I lose my job, number one, where do I get another job right now? Will I be able to replace my income will there be a gap in my time? How's that going to affect my family? How's that going to affect my bills, credit, everything that goes on in that? And you can just see how quickly it just begins to stack up. And then somebody's just overly worried. When they're worried about all those things, forget it. There's no way you can have a productive employee.
It's funny. I've worked with a lot of support groups and I do a lot of stuff with AA, and we always talk about, yeah, you ask 100 people, and it doesn't have to be the 12-step program for anyone who's been through it. It works for people who don't have alcoholism either. I mean, it'll work on, yeah, almost any problem you have.
Sure.
The purpose is finding out the root of these fears. And the thing is the biggest thing that most people are fearful of is to be alone and be alone in fear and not have any help. And what I found that's very interesting is you spend more time worrying about whatever that thing is then it would, yeah, probably take you just getting it done and being done with it. I'm not talking about cutting, yeah, the grass. I'm just talking about whether maybe you have to sit down and have that conversation with your wife, or maybe you have to have that conversation with a worker and you just keep putting it off. First of all, it never seems to ever be as long as it usually feels like it's going to be. And it never feels as bad as it's usually going to feel. But you do end up finding, you realize that you just spend an entire week ruining everything else in your life because you had this small little thing that took you 5 minutes to get done and you're done. And sometimes just procrastination is part of who we are. What we can get done today, we can put off to tomorrow. I certainly understand that. But talk about
I was going to say, to address your point, the Bible has a great point where Jesus said, which one of you can add a day to your life by worrying about it?
Yep.
Not a thing in the world we can change lots of times. And you'll see people play this, what if this happens? And you can what if a situation to death. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing is exactly what Jesus said. He said, don't borrow trouble from tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to have enough trouble of itself. It's going to be enough legitimate problems in every single day.
Yep.
That we don't have to add to it through this imaginary problem, because it's going to be real stuff or real challenges that we have to deal with. So don't lose sight of the fact that, hey, if all we do is focus on our problems and get ingrained in that, we're going to live in a constant state of fear. And it's not healthy. It's not good. It's not productive. And it's certainly not good for the person or the business itself.
I'd also tell you that what you cannot handle, I will be there for you too. I will carry your yoke. So you got nothing to lose here. I mean, if it's something you can't handle, there's nothing that me and you and whatever program you're working through can't get you through. Michael Coleman, he is the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We're talking about worrying and fears in leaders and management. Have you ever seen somebody? It's interesting. I did some television earlier this morning, and I work with someone who's got an attitude. And it's a negative attitude. And it's one of those people that you always have to say hello to first, or else they will not say hello to you. And if you don't say hello to them, then they go, what's gotten your panties in a wad this morning? You're like, I just thought maybe you'd say hello to me first. One of those people.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could feel that darkness. They're wonderful people. They have great hearts. They're really good at what they do, but they just have this attitude, and you can sense that people don't want to be around them a lot, yeah, too, because they don't speak a lot about them. It's a person that's not a big early morning person. And guess what? You're up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So what kind of person are you dealing with? So normally when you go through an interview process, I'm imagining that someone's not coming in if they just have that bad attitude they don't have a positive disposition. They're going to turn it on for just long enough for you to think, wow, this is a person I like to work with every single day, until you get them in the office. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, they seem like they're always down. What do you do to deal with someone like that? And is there a way to sit down and express that to them? Because you got them in every workplace. In every workplace, there's that one person who's the negative Nelly.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. There are people who I call Eeyores, mm-hmm, who just walk around, woe is me, the sky's, yeah, falling. They, no matter what they're exposed to, they're going to see the negative aspect of it. Even if it's 90% positive, 10% negative, they're going to focus on the 10%. Sometimes I have found that sitting down and just confronting that, not in a corrective or a disciplinary way, but just talking to them in a development style counseling, like, you may not be aware of how you come across to others, but let me share with you some examples. And you have to, it's very difficult. I mean, nobody can change of what they're not aware of. And so it's incumbent upon leaders to share that with them. Even when you see them, they may be a negative person. They may be somebody who creates, who's gossiping, undermines operations, or just somebody like you, what we've been talking about, just lives in fear. You got to talk to them about that. You got to make them aware. And then you have to give them the tools that are necessary to be able to, because just pointing it out is not enough for most people. Then the next question is, okay, well, what can I do about it? And so you point it out, but again, you don't do it in a punitive type way, like, man, I'm so sick of you or this. Just say, I'm concerned about you because I feel like you have so much to offer, but I feel like this, how you're projecting yourself, you have so much more to offer than this. This is not who you should be.
And I think that's a good way to do that without hurting someone's feelings by saying, you know, I've always known you as just a trope, even if you've never known them as a positive person.
Yeah.
Just noticed lately, you seem like you're a little down a little bit and you've been a little negative. Is everything okay? Is everything all right at home? And leave it go at that. And hopefully that doesn't manifest itself into, because sometimes they'll take that and make things even worse. Oh, yeah, I mean, great. Mike now thinks I'm, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, no, right. I'm just concerned about you. But, right. You know, and certainly in our business where we have to communicate, your attitude is everything.
And there's people that are hand wringers. And you know, the sky's falling no matter what. And all you can do is coach them, make them aware, encourage them, help them to try to exist in an environment that you're going to face your fear. You're not going to curl up in the fetal position and hide from it. We're going to face it. We're going to get through it. And we're going to build ourselves as time goes on. So the more and more adversity we face, the stronger we're going to become, not the weaker, because the waves keep crashing and through erosion are just wasting away. We're building that wall so that, hey, we see the wave coming, we're going to lean into it. Boom, it's going to hit us. Doesn't mean it's not going to ever have any negative effects. But guess what? We're still going to be standing when the storm passes. And so sometimes you just got to hunker down. You got to get through it and you come out better as a person, because that's one more experience that you can add to your background. And all those experiences will add to your character and develop you to be an effective leader and to be an effective follower as well. Again, pulling out, I'm in a very Bible mood today, out examples.
Preach it, baby.
Where, you know, it talks about that the disciples of Jesus are refined by fire. You know, Jesus does not alleviate all suffering. Not that he desires that we suffer, but like he wants us to hurt, but he understands the only way to grow is through adversity. And so he's going to let us encounter adversity. He's going to give us the strength and the direction and the ability to overcome it. But that's the refining by fire, where we get purer and purer and purer through these difficult times.
The hotter the fire, the harder the steel. Yeah, that's right. There's no doubt. And again, you just brought up something, and I'm so glad you said it. The more times you go through these things, not only is it going to build your character, it's going to build your faith. And the more times you go through these things and you get through these things, it's going to build up that character. It's going to build up that the small things aren't going to be such a big deal anymore like they normally are. You just said something that you mentioned this numerous times, and then we'll let you fly. But I always love the fact you said there are no failures.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you asked her out and she said no. Okay. So learn from that process. She is probably a pain in the ass anyway. That's what I always tell myself. I'm like, she's probably, I see good looking women walking alone too. So just because they're good looking or ugly or whatever, or they got great, doesn't matter. They're probably a major pain in my ass anyway. So maybe God has done me a service here by pushing this one off so I can find my future Mrs. Curry. So there you have it.
That's right.
InfoTonyCurryRadio.net, InfoTonyCurryRadio.net. If you got any emails, check us out. And of course, check out the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. They do wonderful work. And Bite by Bite is up here next. And wherever you get your favorite podcast.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.